May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 183. By covenant transaction and blood, says Jesus, my people are mine. Their sin-bearing victim I stood, yea, for them my life did resign. The curse of the law I sustained, did them from all cursing set free, that when by stern justice arraigned, the sinner should look unto me. Hymn 183.
Thank you. us to read from his holy word, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. Second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, we'll read from the beginning of the chapter to verse 30. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea, on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared, and set himself to seek the Lord, and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court, and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend for ever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If when evil cometh upon us, as a sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house, and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now behold the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us, to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord, with their little ones, their wives, and their children. Then, upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid, nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshipping the Lord. And the Levites, of the children of the Kohathites, and of the children of the Korahites, stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God. So shall ye be established. Believe his prophets. So shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness, as they went out before the army, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten, margin, they smote one another. For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly to slay and to destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked unto the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies, and precious jewels which they stripped off for themselves, more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil, it was so much. And on the 4th day they assembled themselves in the valley of Beraka, that is, blessing. For there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Beraka until this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us each prayer. O Lord God Almighty, art thou not God in heaven, and rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the world? Lord, art thou not plenteous in mercy? Art thou not that covenant-keeping God? Lord, hast thou not said, "Ask and it shall be given thee, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you"? Lord, help us to believe in thee now, each one of us, if it could please thee, to believe in our God, so shall we be established. Lord, oh, we pray to be established this evening. Oh, that thou wouldest speak to us a word that will establish us. Lord, how often we feel to be the very opposite of established, tossed hither and thither, like those disciples on that stormy lake. Lord, we pray, establish us. Oh, how wonderfully thou didst establish thy servant Paul in that storm, when thou didst stand by him that night and assure him that he and all aboard that ship would get safe to land. Lord, we pray, be not silent to us then. We plead thy mercy, Lord, we've nothing else to plead. No good deeds or pleasing frames. Lord, help us to confess our sin. And we plead mercy. Lord, wilt thou in mercy grant tonight even the forgiveness of sins for the first time or in renewal. Lord, thou knowest where there are guilty sinners in this congregation, feelingly so. O Lord, we pray for them that thou wouldst lead them tonight to the fountain open. And open it unto them. The fountain open stands, said one, but on its brink I dwell. O, put me in with thy own hands, and that will make me well. We thank thee, Lord, for all thy goodness and mercy to us. Through another day, to bring us now into the evening of another day. Lord, solemnize our hearts and minds in the realization of the swift passage of our lives. Swift to its close ebbs out life's little day. Lord, the sun has now gone down on this country. Lord, we know that if thou lengthen time till the morning, the sun will rise again. But Lord, there will be a last day with each of us. There'll be a last time that the sun goes down. Oh, we pray, Lord, for that mercy, which will make that day a blessed day. Lord, when the natural sun goes down upon thy people for the last time in the morning, they will be bathing in the unclouded beams of the Sun of Righteousness. And in that place where there will be no night there, they have no need of the sun. For the Lord God is the light of that place. Oh, we beg, Lord, that we may each, by thy grace and mercy, safely arrive there at thy appointed time. Lord, thy people sometimes feel like Paul did, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. But Lord, thou knowest what is best. The work of grace must be completed. Ah, Lord, and sometimes, alas, we have no desire to be with Christ, which is far better. But grovel here below, fond of these trifling toys. Our thoughts can neither fly nor go to reach eternal joys. Lord, then whatever our case, whether we be longing to go and it be not thy time, or whether we be cleaving to this earth, and how wrong that is. Put us right, Lord, in every situation. Lord, we're only ever right when thou dost put us right. Lord, we pray then, oh, may we be granted tonight a right spirit, a believing spirit, a loving spirit, a patient spirit, a broken spirit, a contrite spirit. Lord, a submissive spirit. Do grant us thy Holy Spirit. Bless this people. Do them good, we pray. Feed thy sheep and lambs tonight. Lord, do work wondrously among us. To the glory of thy name and the salvation of thy people. The calling of the dead, the setting free of the captives, the revealing of Christ to those who know him not. And Lord, the renewings, the fresh revelations. Lord, those godly additions that thy word speaks of. Lord, oh, thy servant Peter, by thy Holy Spirit, speaks of that adding, the Lord, it is all thy work. We cannot make one hair black or white. We cannot add one cubit to our stature. Yet, Lord, where thou dost do this adding, thou dost exercise thy people to it. Lord, oh, make us realize our littleness. Make us desire, Lord, to be increased, to grow in grace, and grant this people this blessing. Speak to them, Lord, secretly, and as they meet together in thy house here, through thy word at thy throne, as they go about their daily lives, attending to their business or whatever it be. Oh Lord, do commune with them. We beseech thee. Oh, may they be united to Christ, the living vine, and so bear much fruit. Lord, sanctify to them their troubles. Lord, oh, we pray. Oh, may there be in even these things that gracious addition. Lord, some of us feel to be such barren people. Lord, will we plead the promise, he maketh a barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. And Lord, how was it with Hannah? She went into that temple, Lord, thou knowest, because that is pull her in. And she did pray unto thee, Lord, because that is put that prayer in her heart. And Lord, then that is make her to keep house a joyful woman, not a barren, sorrowful woman. Oh, bless us with this blessing, we pray. Fruit in answer to prayer. The children of Almighty God. Oh, we pray for the afflicted, the infirm, the aged. Lord, do put thy healing hand where it is needful, where it pleaseth thee. Restore, we beseech thee. Whether they be those what we call minor infirmities, or those, Lord, that have deep affliction, some have gone on for a long time. Oh, be unto them, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Lord, remember absent ones. We pray for mothers and fathers caring for their children. We seek for them tonight, the help they need. Lord, oh, we pray even this. Lord, that there may be that fulfillment of that word in a particular way even this night. And she that tarried at home divided the spoil. Lord, help those who are here tonight without their husband or wife, or perhaps another friend, another relation. Oh, may they hear tonight in such a way as they shall have to go home and say what they've heard. And so may there be in that way a dividing of the spoil. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? For Lord, how wonderfully those people were blessed even through the testimony of that woman. For they came to that man whom the woman had seen and could then say, now we believe. Not because of thy saying, but for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ. Bless the families, help them in these difficult days. Lord, help them to be much in thy word, to read it much, Lord, to search it. Bless the word to them. Help them to cleave to it, though it's trodden underfoot in the streets, though the government makes laws contrary to it, though men deny it, Lord, it stands. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and we do bless thee for that. Thy word shall not pass away. Lord, help us to take heed to thy word. Not one of those words will pass away. Lord, do grant us then, we pray, by thy grace to be the right side of thy word in life and in death. And then, Lord, we shall be the right side of that great eternal divide, when thou dost take forth the precious from the vile, the goats and the sheep. Oh, Lord, may we be found in heaven, to see thy face and never, never sin, and from the rivers of thy grace drink endless pleasures in. Help us to pray without ceasing in this matter and in every matter. Lord, we pray for prayer. Lord, we thank thee for prayer heard and answered thus far. But Lord, oh, we need thee to do much more. Lord, we are such poor people. Lord, teach us that daily. We may be poor enough to be praying people. For it's only the poor, Lord, that pray, only the needy. Lord, what a vain prayer is that, that feels no need. We're in need now, Lord, and we beseech thee, supply the need of the speaker and the need of the hearer. Lord, may Christ be first, and Christ be last, and Christ be all in all. We ask in his worthy name. Amen.
Hymn number 738. Jesus, how heavenly is the place where thy dear people wait for thee, where the rich fountain of thy grace stands ever open, full and free. Hymn 738.
dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the chapter that we read, the second book of Chronicles, chapter 20. The second book of Chronicles, chapter 20, verse 12. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. Jehoshaphat's God is indeed the judge of all the earth. He is your judge, he is my judge. He is the judge of all those people in your lives. He is the judge of Satan. He is the King of Kings, he is the Lord of Lords. What a wonderful truth is couched in this text this evening. That he is the judge of his people in such a way as they who in themselves are condemned by his law richly deserve his eternal judgment to perdition, to eternal damnation. Why, that he is the judge of his people in the person of his Son, such that they may plead with him as their judge. O our God, O our God, he was indeed Jehoshaphat's God. God had made himself so. You know, no one makes God their God. It's just not possible. For God to be your God experimentally, God must make himself by the quickening of your soul. As in Adam or die. And what does the apostle writing to the Ephesians say concerning that condition they were in before they were quickened? For he says, ye who you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. That at that time ye were without Christ, without hope, without God in the world. But now ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. That is how Jehoshaphat knew God. That is how Jehoshaphat prevailed with God. That was how Jehoshaphat was brought near to God, by the blood that Paul writes of to the Ephesians. O our God, O our God, what a favored people are these who have God as their God. What does Paul write in the Romans chapter 8? This is the favor of these that have God as their God. If God be for us, if he's your God, my dear friend, he is for you. Oh, he is against your sins, and you may often feel that he is against you because he shows himself as against your sins. And because they are your sins, he must make it appear as though he is against you. But in the end, he will show you it's not you he is against, it's your sins. If God be for us, who can be against us? Oh, what an unspeakable favour that is. But consider the alternative, my dear friend. If God be not our God, nobody can be for us. If God be not our God, it doesn't matter if the whole world is on your side. If you haven't God on your side, you're lost. You cannot prevail. But if God be for you, if God be your God, even if the whole world be against you, they will not prevail against you. They will not prevail against you. And if God be your God, something else that Romans 8 says is true concerning this blessed relationship. All things will work together for your good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. You say, how may I know that God is my God? Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. If you look through the scriptures, my dear friend, this is what you'll find concerning all those of whom it is truly written, God was their God, they were his people, God spoke to them. That was how God began with Abraham. Or Abraham as he was then. When he was in Ur of the Chaldees, the Lord appeared unto him and spoke to him. Now Jehoshaphat knew this. And it wasn't always comfortable words that God spoke to Jehoshaphat. Oh, my dear friend, you know the best of men can't be trusted. But God, he can be trusted as the Holy Spirit enables. But when I say he can be trusted, what I mean is this. Not that any person can of themselves trust him. But what I mean is this. He is trustworthy. Dear Ruth Bryan said of her beloved, oh, he is so trustworthy. If I had 1,000 souls, I'd trust them all with him. The Lord then spoke to Jehoshaphat. He reproved him. Remember when he went to battle with Ahab, God came in the person of his prophet and said to Jehoshaphat as he returned, shouldest thou help the ungodly? And go with those that hate God? Oh, our God. But how was Jehoshaphat delivered at that time? When he was duped by Ahab into putting on his king's robes, and so all the army of the enemies gathered round him, intent on slaying him, we read Jehoshaphat cried out. He cried out unto his God. Oh, our God. If he is your God, my dear friend, he puts cries in your heart unto him. Oh, child of God, can you deny tonight that You have been again and again in situations in which you greatly feared you're in great danger. Above all, your soul's great danger. Feeling to be a perishing, sinking sinner, sinking fast towards hell. And the Lord calls you to cry unto him. And he heard you. You may not, there may be those here tonight that have not yet the blessing that you long for, that is the assurance of your sins pardon. You know the giving of the least hope is an answer to prayer. The giving of a word to hope on, the giving of a word to live upon. In waiting upon God, oh our God. But then you see, the Lord's people are manifestly such as God makes known to them his laws. Oh our God. Think of how the Lord commanded Moses to bring the Israelites before him. Before that Mount Sinai, he mercifully and graciously instructed Moses to keep them at a certain distance. The mount must be fenced, because if anyone touched it, they would be stoned or thrust through with a dart. But what does Moses say in the book of Deuteronomy concerning what God did then? He says, yea, he loved the people. All his saints have in his hand. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. God's people are made to know his law, his statutes. He teaches them his statutes and his ordinances. Oh, our God. And of course, this does not mean that God's people can of themselves obey those statutes. They cannot. But it is not possible for them to do so. But still that law remains. And as he makes this people who are his people, this people who he is the God of, to tremble at his law, to hear the sentence of that law against their transgressions, he leads them to that other mount, the mount that Paul writes of to the Hebrews, Chapter 12, you're not come to the mount that might be touched, but unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to Jesus, to the blood of sprinkling, to the spirits of just men made perfect. Oh, our God. Oh, our God. God then kindly, mercifully, graciously reveals himself at Mount Zion. That is, in the person of his Son. One hymn writer says, long time I after idols ran, but now my God's a martyred man. Oh, our God. And you see, everyone taught of the Spirit must come to God in this way, for there is no other way to come to him. That is what God set forth in fencing the mount. There was no way of access to God in Mount Sinai, though they must see it from afar and see the smoke and hear the thunder and see the lightning. But there is a blessed way of approach. At Mount Zion. That place that sets forth justice and mercy meeting together in perfect agreement. Righteousness and peace kissing each other. That place where a transgressor may draw near to God, not pleading his obedience of the law, but pleading the obedience of Christ. Not bringing an offering of his own, for he cannot bring an offering which is acceptable. The only offering that is acceptable to God is perfection, a perfect obedience. Oh, our God, who in the person of his dear Son hath wrought for his people that perfect obedience. I thought just now as you were singing that hymn and thinking of this word that I was seeking to speak to you from this evening. What the Lord said to the people of Israel of old, in the prophecy of Ezekiel, not for your sakes do I this, be it known unto you, O house of Israel, but for my great name's sake. O our God, we may draw from the verses previous to my text, the gracious, merciful teaching of the Spirit that is so clearly seen in Jehoshaphat concerning his God. You see, and this is so important to notice this, because there are many people, even in this day in which even the name of God and the word of God is denied by so many, many, many people. Yet there are many people still, even in this day, who say that God is their God, but their God is not Jehoshaphat's God. Their Christ is not Jehoshaphat's Christ, nor Paul's Christ, nor David's Christ, nor John's Christ. He's one of those false Christs that the Lord Jesus himself warned us of. Firstly, Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I know that this word doesn't especially speak of the fear of the Lord. He feared the enemies. But he also feared the Lord. He fled by his fear from the enemies. He fled by the fear of the Lord to his God. And what did he know of his God? He knew that he had need to set himself to seek his God. He knew what Paul writes in the Acts. I believe it's Paul. If it isn't Paul, it's one of the other apostles. He speaks of God, that men may feel after him, though he be not far from any one of us. You see, what a vital point of teaching this is concerning God. That verily thou art a God that hidest thyself, O God of Israel, the Saviour. Now, if you know God as a God who hides himself, and he is a God who hides himself, he dwelleth within the veil. He cannot be discerned with the natural eye. He cannot be discerned in images. He cannot be discerned just in forms and ceremonies. He hides himself. The spouse in the Song of Solomon, speaking of the word of God, which is the lattice, he says, or she says, he showeth himself through the lattice. He showeth himself. Some people, their God, they can find him whenever they want. They can see him whenever they put their mind to it. They can take his word whenever they choose to do so. They can believe in him whenever they choose to do so. That is not the true God. He set himself to seek the Lord. To seek the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, why does God hide himself? It's because of this disparity between us and him. There was no hiding of God before the fall. Adam lived in the presence of God. God did not hide himself. But when man fell, that distance was created by man's sin. Verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself. But what did the Lord do? He came and revealed himself to Adam and Eve. They hid themselves from him because they knew they were naked. They heard his voice in the garden and were afraid. But he came and found them. So there is this special favor of communion with God which only God can give. Only God can effect it. It can only be on his terms. It can only be by his power. It can only be in his mercy. It can only be in his great condescension. It is not then that a man may find God if he chooses to. But it is that everyone who is taught by God to feel their need of God and is taught of the Spirit that way in which they may seek the Lord, every one of those the Lord promises they shall find him. And proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. If you look in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 58, you'll find there that the Lord finds fault with the fasts that men choose to do. They find pleasure in the day of their fast. They fast for strife and debate and so on. And he says, is not this the fast that I have chosen to unloose the heavy burdens and so on? Is that work of the Spirit by which a sinner leaves everything in their soul's feelings and goes after God? Oh, my dear friend, this is the work of the Spirit alone. Godly men and women in the Bible practiced actual fasting. That woman I mentioned just now, Ruth Bryan, she did on occasions. But what was important was not so much the abstaining from eating for a short period. It was the exercise of soul that led to them doing that. The setting forth of this exercise by which this matter is so important, I must leave everything else. Now you may be enabled by the Lord to do that even while you still go and attend to your business, because it is wholly a spiritual matter with some, and it's often so. And I believe all the Lord's people prove this. There is a particular blessing at times granted to the Lord's people when they in effect proclaim a fast. I am going to set myself apart to seek the Lord. Now, this may sound very Arminian, as though we can do it ourselves and as though it is our own resolve. My dear friend, that's not what I mean at all. If the Spirit of the Lord is in us, it will from time to time be manifest in this way. You see, what it sets forth is the importance of the matter. What was Jehoshaphat and the men of Judah, what were they facing? Destruction. They were facing destruction at the hand of the enemy. And my dear friend, if you do not find Christ, that is what you are facing. Have you been brought to that point in your life? It's not just a matter of it would be nice to find Christ. If I don't find him, I'm eternally lost. There's no one. Ah, my dear friend, the day is coming when you will each be brought to realize this. There is no one that can save you but Christ. And this is above all else what fasting sets forth. But one thing is needful. Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord, even out of all the cities of Judah. They came to seek the Lord. Now, verse 6, O Lord God of our fathers. O Lord God of our fathers. Jehoshaphat was one of those who by grace stood in the way. Stand in the way and see and ask for the old paths and walk therein. God of our fathers. Some of us were blessed with godly fathers, literally. The man who was our father according to the flesh. And some of us also, their father. The Lord's purpose, instead of the father should come up the children, a seed to serve thee. But my dear friend, when a child of God today says, O God of our fathers, they go back further than their own father, their own grandfather. They go back right to Adam. God was the God of Adam, the God of Eve. They go back, right back to Abraham, to Isaac and to Jacob. That word I quoted earlier, the place where the believer is brought, one of the places, one of the descriptions of that place is to the spirits of just men made perfect. Now there isn't communion between the spirits of the Lord's people in heaven and the souls of the living here on earth. That is a Romish heresy. But where is the communion between a child of God tonight in 2018 and those men I've spoken of who are now in heaven, and the women too. Where is the communion? Is in Christ. O God of our fathers, thou wast the God of Abraham. Thou art my God. We come a little lower and say, like Ruth said, thy people shall be my people. Thy God, my God. The desire that it may be so. Art not thou God in heaven above all? The psalmist said, didn't he? I will cry unto God most high. You see, it's easy for us to say God in heaven. But what a tremendous thing to believe it. It is tremendous because of this. This sets forth that he is the eternal God. He's not a man that he should lie. The eternal God was made man. Do not mistake my meaning there. He is not a man that he should lie. He is the eternal God, and he is above men. Sometimes, my dear friend, through unbelief, and it is unbelief, we almost look at things as though the devil was in control. And when you've got enemies rising up against you, unbelief seems to say they're in control. But Jehoshaphat was favoured by faith to see God was in control. Art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? Oh, my dear friend, how precious this truth is to a child of God in every generation. But surely as the days become more solemn, this truth becomes more precious still. God is ruling today. Not over some parts of the earth, not over some men, but over all men. Remember that image that Nebuchadnezzar saw in that dream and Daniel interpreted to him. All those kingdoms going down from the head to the feet. And what did the Lord say to Nebuchadnezzar concerning those that represented those kingdoms? The kingdom of Babylon, the Greek kingdom, then the Persian kingdom and the Roman kingdom and so on. He said, but in the days of these kings, another king shall reign. And there shall be no end of his kingdom. Rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen, and in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee. Now he reminds the Lord of what he had done. Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel? You see, if God is your God, my dear friend, he is going to have the preeminence. And above all, that is in respect to your calling upon him, he is going to have the preeminence. And how is that? He makes you to feel so sinful, so guilty, so weak, such a treacherous backslider, such a changeable worm, such a frail creature, such a sinful creature, that you can't mention anything about yourself except your sins. You don't make a lot of yourself. But the Spirit teaches you to make a lot of God. By that I mean, as the Spirit points out God's faithfulness, his covenant keeping, faithfulness, his power, his goodness, and then what he has done. I will go in the strength of the Lord, I'll make mention of his righteousness, even of his only. He mentions then the covenant, thou didst give this land to thy people Israel, to the seed of Abraham, thy friend. And he reminds them of the words of Solomon at the dedication of the temple, that if when any evil comes upon the people, if they look toward that temple, God will hear and deliver and grant them all that they ask for, yea, more than they ask for. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Wilt thou not judge them? Wilt thou not judge them, Lord, that are come to cast us out of this place that thou hast put us in? What do I see there? I see the spirit-taught prevailing plea of a sinner in Christ's name. Because the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, which flowed with milk and honey, he represents Christ. Wilt thou not judge them which have come to deprive us of Christ? Wilt thou not judge them that have come to cast us out of this blessed land? Oh, how Almighty God delights to hear his children plead and mention the name of his Son and mention the covenant of his grace and mention the promises of God which are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. My dear friend, you won't prevail on him in any other name. You won't prevail on him on any other terms. Wilt thou not judge them? You see, it was God's judgment that put the people in Israel. It was God that divided the River Jordan. The Ark of the Covenant went over before the people. It was God that dispossessed those cities. It was God doing the judging when he put them in. And it must be God that does the judging if he keep them in. And if he prevent those enemies from rising up, it's him judging. Why, my dear friend, that's how it will be right to the end. My dear friend, may the Lord teach us by this. What does it mean? Jehoshaphat knows, he realizes that though he stood in Israel, he is as dependent upon God, now he stood in Israel, as Joshua and the children of Israel were dependent upon God when they stood the other side of the River Jordan. Who are these that judge you? Your sins. These enemies, my dear friend, first and foremost, is your sins. And no one can judge your sins but God. My dear friend, you will not prevail if you say, well, I've done my best. You'll not prevail if you say, oh, I'm not guilty of these things I'm accused of. No. You will prevail if you fall as a poor, needy, guilty sinner at the feet of the Lord and say, Lord, wilt thou not judge them? How will he judge them? He'll pardon them. That's how he'll judge them. How will he judge your accusers? That word has been with me today. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. Who is he that condemneth? This is the judgment that Jehoshaphat is pleading for. God's judgment. Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? Wilt thou not in thy faithfulness judge them? Wilt thou not in thy mercy judge them? Wilt thou not in thy loving kindness judge them for us? My dear friend, see if you can plead, see if you can prevail with him. I tell you, you won't prevail on any other terms than these. Oh, ask him if he in his mercy will forgive your sins, if he in his loving kindness, if he in his faithfulness, if he in respect to that one offering at Calvary will not judge your sins, so that they are as dead things. Sin put away on that cross at Calvary. He's like a dead thing now to the child of God. That sin has no power anymore to rise up and condemn me. Since Christ died for those sins. And the point here is Jehoshaphat is praying, the child of God here this evening is praying that God will do it. Will thou not judge? You see, here's another proof, here's another point of teaching concerning Jehoshaphat's God and the grace of God in Jehoshaphat's heart. He knew God must do the judging. Some people, you know, their God is, he appears to be so far the God of the holy word of God. But he's not, because it's only so far that their God is the God of the Word of God. Their God is the God of the Word of God as far as this, that Jesus Christ, God's Son, died on Calvary's cross to put away the sins of his people. And that's where their knowledge of God ends. And their religion carries on its own from there on. And they assume, because they hear that Christ died for sinners, they assume that Christ died for them. And all they got to do is read it there in the Word of God and they say, oh, I'm pardoned, I'm free. But Jehoshaphat, he didn't say that. Because, you see, he had real enemies. And if you've got real sins, you won't be able to assume that Christ died for them. If you've got real lusts, you won't be able to think that Christ died for those sins and conquered those lusts. While you've got those lusts feelingly reigning in your heart. Oh, but you'll bring those sins, the guilt of them, and those sins, the power of them, to the Lord and say, Lord, wilt thou not judge them? Believing that he can. Having the faith that the leper was given, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst. I will. That's the judgment. Wilt thou not judge? My dear friend, it's getting an answer. Oh, how wonderfully this prayer of Jehoshaphat's was answered. Then upon Jahaziel came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. Here's God judging. He's stating his judgment. Jehoshaphat, your prayer is heard. That's the judgment. Some of you can't deny that you've had this, but you need it again. I cannot deny, my dear friend, that I've had this. I cannot count the number of times I've had this. But I need it continually. I need it continually. It's no use me saying, well, I had an answer yesterday. It's no use me saying I've had the forgiveness of my sins. Wilt thou not judge this great company? We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Oh, how this shows that Jehoshaphat's God was a true and the living God. If God is your God, he teaches you this, we have no might. I said just now, and it'll bear repetition, these people, they cannot do a thing. Blessed be God's name. He is their God to do everything. I will cry unto God, says the psalmist, unto God most high that performeth all things for me. Not some things, all things. We have no might. We have to be taught this, don't we? Dear Cynic, he says, the more I strove against sin's power, I sinned and stumbled, but the more. And you know, I'm sure Mr. Cynic hadn't finished learning that lesson when he wrote that hymn. He was learning it for the rest of his day. Off through pride my stubborn will to Sinai feels a cleaving still. Foolishly thinking I've got some might after all, but no, no might. And you see, this is the point upon which God says in the book of Deuteronomy, he repents himself. That is, he turns from chiding to comforting. He turns from wounding to healing. He turns from reproving to pardoning. He turns from binding in prison to loosing from the prison. When he seeth that their power is gone. When he seeth that their power is gone. We have no might against this great company. My dear friend, you cannot stop sinning. You cannot stop being prayerless. You cannot stop being worldly. You cannot stop being careful and troubled about many things. You cannot stop making idols. You cannot stop disbelieving. You cannot stop being earthly minded. The point is, do you see all these things? There's so many threats to your soul. They are. The fact that you cannot overcome them doesn't mean they go away. The only thing that makes them go away is the presence and the judgment of the Lord. We have no might against this great company that cometh against us. The devil too. Oh, how weak we are before the devil. He's too strong for us. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. How strong Peter thought he was, but he wasn't strong enough. Blessed be God's name, Christ was strong enough. I have prayed for thee. Neither know we what to do. Neither know we what to do. What a place to be in. Powerless and without wisdom. In one sense, Jehoshaphat was without wisdom. In another sense, he had wisdom. How did he have wisdom? The Lord was with him. And how was that wisdom manifest? In realizing he didn't have any of his own. Neither know we what to do. I will bring the blind by a way that they know not. Neither know we what to do. The case is too difficult. Their wisdom is swallowed up. Psalm 107, wit's end. Neither know we what to do. And yet he did know what to do. There's that word elsewhere in the books of Chronicles. I cannot tell you the chapter, but it comes to my mind now. There are those sons of Issachar who we read knew what Israel ought to do. And what was it? They went out under David. They left Saul. And what does that set forth? It sets forth the same thing as Jehoshaphat was taught to do. When those sons of Issachar went out to David, where were they going? To Christ. Neither know we what to do. My dear friend, if there's one here tonight, the Lord bring you where Jehoshaphat was. If you are there, the Lord keep you there. Because you cannot fail here. Because you're coming to him who saves sinners who don't know what to do. Because he knows what to do. There's no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. In your soul, you don't know what to do. The Lord tells you, look unto me. But our eyes are upon thee. But our eyes are upon thee. Oh, how often in the believer's life he doesn't know what to do. You know, that's a safe place, really. If in that condition you know not what to do, your eyes are upon the Lord to show you what to do. This great God of Jehoshaphat, what is his promise? I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. My dear friend, oh, that I had not to confess this in my own case, but if I didn't have to, how could I preach it to you? My dear friend, how prone we are to try and work things out ourselves. Except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. The great God doesn't need you and me to work out what to do, because he promises to tell us what to do. And that is safe counsel. That is sure counsel. He seeth the end from the beginning. Art thou not God in heaven? Lord, this thing that's so great to me, comparatively speaking, Lord, it is little. Asa said, didn't he? It is nothing with thee to help. Oh, for this blessing as we leave the house of God tonight. In the things that are mountains to you, to give you and me the faith to say with Asa, Lord, it's nothing with thee. But you say, what about my sins? My dear friend, this great God, what hath he done whereby he can justly forgive sins? He has smitten his son. And by that sacrifice, the sins of thousands, that's millions of people, are forgiven. But our eyes are upon thee. Lord, we are looking to thee. But it's more than that, upon thee. Our eyes are upon thee. Look at that word upon. It sets forth what faith does. It fixes on Christ and it rests on Christ. That word upon speaks of something on top, resting. Resting. That's what we need. Our eyes are upon thee, not a cursory glance. Oh, my dear friend, the Lord save us from that. Our eyes are upon thee. Our eyes not to turn away until we get the answer we're looking for. Our eyes are upon thee. Oh, the safety of a sinner whose eyes are upon the Lord. Whose soul is hanging upon God in all his covenant. Faithfulness upon God in all his mercy, and upon God in all his power, upon God in all his wisdom. Our eyes are upon thee. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth thy judgment. Will thou not judge them? And he shall bring forth thy judgment as the noonday, and thy righteousness, that bright shining. But our eyes are upon thee. Oh, I think of that woman of Canaan. By grace, she didn't take her eyes off Christ. When he spoke such words as were crucifying to the flesh, it didn't take her eyes off him, it rather riveted them even tighter to him, if I may put it like that. Why? Because when she said, when he said, I'm not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, look how her eyes were upon him. He said the words, I'm sent to lost sheep. Lord, help me. But it's not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Truth, Lord, no. Oh, I'm not asking for something I deserve. I'm not asking for something I'm worthy of. I'm asking, Lord, for something I'm completely unworthy of. Lord, the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Our eyes are upon thee, not upon a God who favours those who can bring something to him that he can be pleased with, but upon a God, the God who delighteth in mercy. Oh, not upon a God who takes a sinner's obedience and adds the obedience of his Son to that obedience, and with those two obediences saves the sinner. No, but that God who required everything of his Son. Not looking upon, not our eyes upon a God who can take our sacrifice and put it together with the sacrifice of his Son and pardon sin with those two things. No. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. By one offering, not two. By one offering he is perfected forever. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. But our eyes are upon thee. Lord, it's thy mercy we're pleading. Lord, oh, it's thee. Lord, appear. Lord, shine. Lord, make bare thine arm. Lord, remember thy covenant. Have respect to the covenant, Lord, for the dark places of the earth are full of the habitations of the cruelty. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? Remember what God the Father says of his Son. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he has set judgment in the earth. Oh, our eyes, Lord, aren't upon a God that requires a poor sinner to conquer his sins. Our eyes are upon Thee, Lord, who has done it at Calvary, and is able to do it in my experience by the power of Thy Spirit. Our eyes are upon the God who loves his people first and makes them love him in return. Our eyes are upon the God who draws sinners, who saves sinners to the uttermost. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. But our eyes are upon thee. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. John Rosier on Tuesday evening next week. Let us close with part of hymn 334. We'll omit verses 2 and 3. Behold, from the desert of sin, the world and the curse of the law, a fair one whose garments are clean, does with her beloved withdraw. Retiring from thence, she appears dejected and often complains, surrounded with sorrows and fears, yet on her beloved she leans. Hymn 334, omitting verses 2 and 3.
thank thee for thy word and ask thy blessing on it that it may remain with us as we separate. O Lord, do bless us each with that faith Jehoshaphat was blessed with. Lord, do forgive what has been amiss. Keep us safe in our journeys. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forever. Amen.